her surgery, Dixie. Remember her, that God will be with her, and we know he will. All right. Take heart and encouragement. God is with us. His purpose is to heal us. He's already provided it. His purpose is for us to be well. We have to receive it. We have to believe it with all of our hearts. And that's what we pray for each other. Believe, believe, believe. That's our important part in this role. Pray with me. Join me in prayer as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we are here together as a family of believers, God, a family of followers of Christ, Lord, that you have blessed us with and provided us with so many blessings. You've protected us. You've provided for us, God. You've given us everything that we need in this life to pass through this life into our eternity, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and for your mercy and your grace and the healing power that you've already provided for us. I pray this morning, Lord, through all the requests that we have, so many in our congregation who are in need of a touch, but it's a touch of their faith and of their heart and of their mind and their encouragement. God, we pray for that this morning, Lord, that you would build us up through your Holy Spirit to assure all of us, Lord, that our faith is the key to receiving from you. And Lord, our faith is strong, and we believe in what you've already provided and what you've already done and what you're going to do in each and every one of the lives that have been spoken here this morning. Lord, we pray, God, that your comforting spirit would come upon each and every life, God, and scare away the fear and scatter the doubt, Lord, that so easily comes upon us when times of distress come upon our bodies and our lives. I pray, God, for each request, each person, Lord, that their minds would be focused on you and what you've already provided for us. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for this lesson. I pray that you would help me to teach it in a way that we can gain from it, Lord. And I pray for the continuation of this service, that it would be a good time that we have with you this day as we lift up your name in praise and in return receive blessings from you. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things and give you thanks. Amen. Commending leaders to gospel ministry. It was a sad time for Paul. Paul spent more time with the church in Ephesus than any of the other churches that he started. He spent over two years there daily teaching out of a schoolhouse, the school of Tyrannus. And Ephesus was a typical type of early church in these Asian and European cities. They didn't really have a church house like we did, like we do. They didn't all gather from the local towns and every Sabbath day or Sunday and come together and have a time of worship. They would meet in church in houses, people, individual houses. And in some of these cities, the congregation was quite large, so they would have multiple houses. And wherever you lived in part of the city or town that you were in, you may have a house that you gathered in, and in that house was a leader. Was someone that Paul had appointed to that local house that you were going to be the leader of the church at Ephesus. So the church of Ephesus was made up possibly of multiple houses and all of them part of the congregation. They just didn't have one big location that they came. But they knew each other, they conversed with one another, and Paul lived among them and gave information to all of them. Now, you say, well, this is, you know, Paul's time is, he feels that it's up to where he now has to leave Ephesus. He has to go back. His journey is over, and he has this desire to go back to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost celebration. He needs to go back there. And he doesn't feel that he is going to return to Ephesus. And it turns out that he's correct. He won't return there. So when he goes, he doesn't go into the town. He's getting ready to take a ship across the Mediterranean Sea back into Israel, into Jerusalem. And he goes to a city named Miletus. And that's a port city. But it's about 30 miles away from Ephesus. So he sends word to these elders of these church, these leaders that he's appointed to these house churches in Ephesus. And so in Acts 20 is where we're going to gain our lesson from today. In the 20th chapter of Acts, starting with 17, it says that Paul, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. That was his purpose. I want to speak to the leaders that I've appointed over to this church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. He's basically saying, I want you to focus these past two or three years that I've been with you. I want you to remember the example, is basically what he's saying, the example that I have set in front of you, because I'm going to be leaving. You're going to be in charge of the home churches here, and it's going to be your responsibility to grow more leaders and to advance the gospel. And I want you to reflect upon what you've seen of me the past couple of years, is what he's saying. What manner I have been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He wants them to remember, when I came and I grew and I established this church, and through the Holy Spirit we grew, and many multiple people joined the church, that it wasn't easy. We received all types of persecution. I want you to remember the days of persecution. I want you to remember what I had to go through with people from the other Jews that were didn't like the preaching of Jesus Christ and would come to destroy and snuff out this early young church. I want you to remember this. I wasn't coming with great pride and pomp, and I didn't come looking for any fame and fortune and honor. I came in all humility, knowing that I'm being led by the Holy Spirit to establish and spread the gospel. But I want you to remember all the many tears and temptations and trials, is what that is, the trials that we went through together. I want you to recall those, because they will not cease. They will still be there. Those trials and temptations of the church and any church, as long as there's an enemy, there's going to be trials and tribulations. And you're going to face this, but I'm going to be gone. It's now in your hands as leaders here. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've gone from house to house these past few years and educated you about the Word of God. I have, you know, here again, these local leaders did not have the Bible. When Paul would go to these house to house churches, he didn't say, open your scriptures to whatever book. He was telling them from his revelation, from the Holy Spirit. He was telling them what the disciples had walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and they had taught Paul, and Paul had received for years revelation from the Holy Spirit on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he is telling these churches what they should, how they should believe, and what the teachings of Christ is all about, and he's bringing back to their remembrance everything that he has said to them. All that he held back, nothing. I've given everything to you. I'm not leaving you without important documents or important knowledge. I've given everything that I knew to you these past few years for you to take care of. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, or the Gentiles, the non-Jews, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The two things that he wanted to stress about the gospel of Jesus Christ is repentance. We all have to repent of our sins, whether we believe we have or not. Repentance is the key. We have to. That's the start of the gospel, is repentance, knowing that you're a sinner, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith being not only knowing that he existed, and not only knowing that he died for our sins, but know that he was raised again on the third day to give us eternal life, to accept through faith the blood that he shed was the forgiveness of our sins. This is the message Paul has taught these house churches in Ephesus for the last 2 years. He has poured out the word unto them, teaching them all things that he could. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. That's the point of me bringing you together. That's the point of this meeting, is to tell you that I'm going to go away and you're never going to see me again. This face that you've seen for 2 years, that you've leaned on, that you've heard from, that I've mentored you, everything that you have seen, and I'm going to be gone. And you will see this face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What he is saying is that I have taught you everything. I haven't held back. I haven't preached to people who just wanted to hear good stuff. I've told the true statement of the gospel. I was going to say the good and the bad. There is no bad. What I meant sometimes the gospel means for us, it tells us how to live, and sometimes it's a hard lesson to take in our flesh. But Paul is saying, I've taught you the whole word. I've taught you everything about the gospel, and I want you to record this day in your minds, because as I leave you, I am pure in God's sight from the blood of all men, because I have revealed everything that it takes to be a Christian to accept. He's basically saying, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Everything that I've received by revelation, I've regurgitated it to you. And you have soaked it in as leaders. You have heard it. You have listened. And now you have to go with it. It was similar to what he's going to tell Timothy later on. If we go to Timothy, he gives Timothy a word of goodbye later on. And he says, he tells Timothy in those words, basically what he's telling these preachers or these leaders in Ephesus, where he tells Timothy as he's getting ready to leave him, he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Approve, rebuke, exhort, and all, with all long suffering and doctrine. For he gives Timothy a word of warning on this. Why you need to preach the whole counsel of God, not just the sugar-coated stuff, not just the loving stuff, the loving, everything is great stuff. You have to preach it all, because Paul would say in verse 3 of Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure, talking about the congregations, sound doctrine. But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. He told Timothy that, so now he's telling he's going to tell Timothy that, but now that he's leaving the leaders of Ephesus, the leaders of their house churches, here's why you have to preach the whole counsel. Everything that I've taught you, you have to teach them and hold firm to it, because there will come a day when itching ears will take over if you're not careful, if you're not knowledgeable of what's about to come. Because he said, going back to the lesson text in verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Be warned, as I'm leaving you, you are not going to see me again. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He's telling these guys what they need to do. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I'm going to stop there. He's telling them, here's why when I go that it's so important for you to remember everything that I've taught you. You cannot, when you go back to the house churches and they hear that Paul is no longer going to be making the rounds, Paul is no longer going to be overseeing the church in Ephesus. We are the church of Ephesus. We are the body of Christ in Ephesus. There will come ravenous wolves, talking about individuals, that'll come to try to scatter your flock. They'll come from the outside and try to devour what we have started and what the Holy Spirit is growing. You as the leaders have to be on guard for what will inevitably happen. The enemy will always try to attack the church with any way that they can to divide and destroy the church. And Paul is telling them, while I was with you, I was fighting, but now I have to go, and you are left to the churches, and it's your responsibility. So you, the leaders, have to feed the flock, the church of God, the flock being you are now the shepherds of these people. It is your responsibility to feed the flock of the church. Feed them through the scriptures, through the knowledge, what I have taught you, what you have learned from how the prophecies of the Old Testament, which you do have, were reflected and fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Teach the flock how that what they prophesied, the old prophets prophesied, was fulfilled in Christ, and how that the blood of Christ provided salvation. Don't let the outside forces come in and devour your flock, the world that feeds, the world that comes in and entices people, the world that says, why do you want to believe such a fantasy, such a strange faith, such a strange religion with all this blood and belief and faith and eternal life and resurrection? Why do you want to believe such silliness, foolishness? The outside forces coming in telling your flock that this is all foolish. You have to encourage and feed your flock against what they are hearing on the outside. But he included something else. In verse 30, also of your own selves inside your own churches shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Not only are these leaders going to be faced with the world that's outside trying to destroy the flock when they go into their places of business and their marketplace to buy their daily bread, they're going to be confronted with the outside forces, but also inside the very houses, churches that they are coordinated and are working together, where there should be harmony and love and peace. There will come those that will rise up trying to take over a leadership, to try to take over the whole group. He says, drawing disciples to themselves, meaning that you leaders will be challenged. There will be those from inside your own house church that will rise up and say, I'm better than this guy, and I will challenge it. And their whole purpose is to draw disciples unto themselves to split and to divide the church. That tactic has not changed for thousands of years. It's still, we have to be on guard in our own churches today of these forces from outside and from within. We have to be protective, so that we know when a ravenous wolf has attracted himself to our church from the outside forces, or we have to be able to be a leader in our own quality and knowledgeable in our own mind to know when someone rises up to challenge. We have to know what Paul was saying, that this is not to be. This is not so. This should not be divisions in the church to where someone says, I can do as much as the pastor. I can do as much as the teacher. I can do better than them. And start spreading discord in the church to where they gather disciples to themselves. This is what Paul knew the enemy's tactics was, and it still hasn't changed today. So he wants them to take heed and be aware of all these things that could happen. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I've warned you time and time again. You probably got tired of me talking about being careful, watching out for the things that could come and destroy the church, the faith of the members, divisions that could creep in. I've warned you with tears, knowing what the enemy does. Paul had to face not only the destruction from the religious Jews that wanted to snuff out Christianity, but he also had true converts, people that actually believed when they received Jesus Christ. Hey, I believe in Jesus Christ's blood shed for me. I believe in his resurrection that gave me eternal life. And they would come into the churches to learn and to listen to Paul. But you're still dealing with human beings, and those human beings at times would gain this desire through their own ego or their own evil desires to take over. I know just as much as that leader does, and people will follow me before that more than that leader does. And when you have challenges from within that church, in this case, this house church, you cannot stand. It will divide itself. Remember and do these things. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I'm giving you up to God. I'm giving you to him and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, he's told these elders, I'm going to leave you. You're going to be in charge of the church in Ephesus. I want you to preach the unadulterated truth of the word of God. Everything that you've heard from me, I want you to preach it in full. Don't just preach the stuff that everybody likes. Preach the whole thing. It's important for you to preach the whole truth that you've heard, because here's what's going to happen. And here he's going through everything. You're going to be attacked. But now that he's leaving, he says, I'm going to now leave you in the Spirit of God, which is going to cover you and protect you and give you guidance and give you leadership. He's going to give you what he calls the word of his grace, which is always sufficient for no matter what you go through. You can rely upon the word of God to fulfill or to be sufficient in your struggle, to bring you out of whatever you're going through, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them all. The toughest thing in a Christian life at times is to stay up and encouraged. To stay encouraged because of what life's daily events happen, all the troubles and trials that everyone has to go through, it is difficult to keep encouragement going. And what he is saying is, I want you to rely upon the word of God, because that sufficiency of his word, the grace that's in it, will continue to encourage and build you up. And you have to be built up. If you don't stay built up, the enemy will get a foothold and it'll tear you down. You have to stay encouraged. And as we go through life's events, we must stay encouraged. And we have to make sure that we stay focused on God alone and not just what's happening with the individual people. This was a difficulty that Paul knew was going to happen. These leaders were going to go back to their churches and they're going to say, Paul is no longer with us, so we are going to continue in the faith. We're going to continue to spread the gospel. Our churches are going to grow and all of that. But there was going to be difficulty with these leaders possibly getting their minds off of God and onto the people themselves to satisfy the people instead of satisfying God. To give an example of how leaders should look at it, Pastor Green gave us a book several months ago in a leadership meeting. It's on being the leaders like Jesus. And in the book, it gave an example that I thought was very, very good example of who to pay attention to. It was about an opera singer. This opera singer was given an opportunity to go in front of a large audience and sing in front of this incredibly large audience in a main theater in a large city. So he practiced for months, the art of his craft for months. So he goes, and on the night of the concert, he goes on stage to this large crowd. Everybody's sold out, not a seat empty. He sings his songs in the opera, and at the end of his program, he gets a standing ovation. Applause from everyone, a standing ovation, so much so that as he tries to exit, he'd bring him back for a two curtain calls. But as the end of it, he finally makes it to the backstage, and his manager who got him this show said, "Isn't this wonderful? What do you think of all of this?" And the opera singer said, "Tonight I failed." And the manager says, "What are you talking about? You failed. You had a standing ovation and curtain calls to come back for more." And the opera singer said, "There was one person who stayed seated. They did not stand, nor did they applause." And the manager was just, "Oh, you got to be kidding me. You feel like you're a failure because one person's opinion, and that's what you were staying with." And the opera singer replied, "That one person was my teacher. My teacher, who had taught me everything, had led me, stayed seated, and did not applaud. And that let me know that I had failed in my capabilities and in what I could truly do." And what the point of that lesson was and is today is that the manager had his eyes on the people. The singer had his eyes on his master, on his teacher. His focus was pleasing his teacher. Now, why is that a good point of talking about leadership? Paul knows that the leaders of these church houses, it'll be very easy to follow the reactions of the people and start teaching and preaching and doing things just to get the applause of the people in your church house. Because you don't want to lose anybody. You don't want to make anybody mad. Paul knows this, so he's telling these leaders, stay focused on your master. Stay focused on God who has called you for this purpose. Please God no matter what the people think, and you will fulfill and be and do what you'll be in God's, in his standards and his way. Don't fall prey to the attraction of the people and leave out God. And that's what the story was saying. And that was such a great example of what Paul was trying to preach to these people, because he knows, being human, the easy way out of things. And they have to be on alert at all times. He says, I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. I didn't come with my own entourage. I didn't come asking for you to pay me to be here. I didn't come and start this church so that I could gain from this church. I came to be a servant to this church, not to receive from this church and go on my way. He's telling them as an example, look what I did, because I was the example the whole time I was here. I could have easily said, hey, I've come from a long way, and I have all the knowledge of how to keep this church, how to grow this church, but you're going to have to give me. He worked himself while he was there. He was a tent maker. He spent his days stretching that leather, tacking it down, cutting it, shearing it up. The same hands that would lay his hands on the sick and they receive healing, the same apron that they would cut pieces of it off to give to the sick that couldn't get to the church and receive healing, was the same one that on a daily basis, those same hands were in there pounding leather, making tents and all that to pay his way. Now, what did he mean by that? Don't get caught up. You're a servant. Don't get caught up in only doing things for the acclaim, for the riches, for the honor. You're a servant of the people. Feed the flock. Give to them, and you will receive from God. So he says, I did not come coveting man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my own necessities. I've paid my own way. And to them that were with me, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is how he ends his conversation, I guess, with the elders, trying to teach them not only, here again, to teach the whole word, but to support those that are weak, encourage those that are downtrodden, feed the flock, the word of the Lord, pay attention to God instead of the congregation, instead of the people, pleasing the people, please God instead of the people. This is what he's telling the leaders. And in so doing, you will follow God and where he wants you to be. And he says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You as the leader should give all that you can give in your talents, in your service, in your servanthood to the people. You will receive more blessing for how you work than what you receive materially. It's more blessed to give than to receive. As he closes down, you don't have this in your lesson text, but these men who have relied upon Paul so long break down. They don't know what to do now that Paul's leaving. These are important words for Paul to make. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to go back to Ephesus and say, I want to talk to my elders. I want to talk to my leaders. But he did, because he knew the importance of it. He knew he loved Ephesus, and he knew what importance that there was going to be. And at the end, and it says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with all of them. They all kneeled together. Paul, you just picture yourself, Paul and ever how many elders there were. We don't know how many house churches there were. They all prayed together, and they all wept sorely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see him, his face, no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. They saw him off to see him no more. Now, the church at Ephesus, whatever became of that church? Remember, in the book of Revelation, the first part of the Revelation, John gets a vision that Jesus speaks to seven churches. And we've had good lessons on these things. And the first of those seven churches that Jesus speaks to is the church at Ephesus. This is after Paul is gone, and John the Revelator is writing the book of Revelation, and well upon in his elderly years. The early church has grown tremendously. And in that second chapter of Revelation, Jesus commends the church of Ephesus for their dedication, for their works, and for not letting the ravenous wolves come at them. He commends them for not falling prey to the trend of that day that was coming in with other false doctrine. Jesus commends this church at Ephesus for blocking and fighting off false doctrine. But he said, I still have one thing against you. Church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. Think about that. Paul is telling the leaders, be a servant. Don't forget God. Don't fall prey to the people, and instead of God. Watch out for wolves. Watch out for false doctrine. They're doing everything they can do working-wise to have a good church, but yet in so doing, in so well doing, in much work, they've left their first love. They forgot the rule of following Christ, loving Christ, praising Christ, making him the focus of everything that they do. They left their first love, had a strong church, a powerful church, probably a giving church. But Jesus says, where am I in this? And so we learn that even though Paul relayed this to the church and they grew, we have to take knowledge too that not only did they listen to Paul's words, but there were still chances and opportunities, I guess, for them to forget the very one that they had built their church around, which is Jesus. And we can do the same thing. We can fall prey to this same thing where we can work so hard and do everything so right and be a loving church and all that. But if our focus is off of Christ, if when we leave, if we come to church without thinking of Jesus and we leave the church without thinking of Jesus, then we've left our first love. Even though we could be a powerful church in the community, we can't forget him. And as Paul is commending leaders, it's not just leaders per se that have been over an organization. It's just not a commendation to the pastor of this local church or whatever. The same book that I referred to said leadership happens anytime when you, me, or anybody influences the thinking, the behavior, or the development of another person. If you yourself can influence the behavior, the thinking, or the development of another person, you are the leader of that person. And we need to be mindful that we all, in our own way, in our own world, are leaders to other individuals. You may not have a title in the church, you may not have a position in the church, but you are still a leader in your world if you have influence over other individuals. So the same scriptures that we're reading here that Paul meant for the leadership in Ephesus, we still learn from. We don't just say, oh, this is about leadership, let's go in the next chapter. We learn from it because it affects us as well. If we have a church full of people who have leadership mentality, you got a good church. And that's the striving nature of what we're trying to learn here with this lesson. Next week, as we continue with this, we're going to be testifying of the gospel and how it's the church's responsibility, not only but the church, but every Christian's responsibility.